Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, did you know there's been many deaths in the gaming industry? No, I don't mean anything you need to feel sorry about or sad for. It's the death of continual live services. Now, obviously, I feel bad for the amount of people working on these projects. However, I do think there's a worthwhile talking point as to the amount of different companies, the amount of different ideas that were molded to fit a live service model that are now all falling the F apart.
Scott, do you know that scene in Goodfellas where all of the mobsters get whacked and they start turning up in, like, freezers and in the back of vans and in, like, suspicious car accidents? Yeah. It feels like that montage where every single day a new live service is getting taken in to be made a made man and then shot in the back of the head.
We did a video on, it was when the Avengers got announced as closing down, and we were like, cool, let's do that. You know, video games you won't believe are shutting down in 2023, because it is ridiculous that Avengers came, can't even make it to its third anniversary. So we'll do that. And in the time that we've done that video, more services have shut down since then. So it's all over the place.
In the time that it took me to record the voiceover for that video, more live services had shut down. We actually had to delay that to get Rumbleverse in after the Avengers was announced. It feels like, I said, you know, every single day more and more of these games are just going bust, and then it almost feels like it sparked a domino effect where you see the Avengers shut down, you see Rumbleverse shut down, and then other developers are just going, well, you know what, the time set seems right, why don't we just shut our service down too and stop support for it.
2 years, that's a good amount of time for something to survive in this industry. So to run some stuff down, there was a tweet from Gamatsu from a good few days ago, just running all these services down that are all shutting down. Apex Legends Mobile, Battlefield Mobile, Crime Site, which I've never heard of, which I guess is part of the problem. Crossfire X is immediately shutting down.
And it's single player as well, which blew my head.
And also, with single player worked on by Remedy, and then the rest of it was whichever studio put that stuff together. There's the Dragon Quest game, The Adventure of Dire Heroes Bonds. There's Echo VR. Vaguely remember Echo VR?
Vaguely.
Knockout City and Rumbleverse. And then since that tweet...
You love Knockout City, didn't you?
I love Knockout City a lot. Clearly, I didn't play it enough, but like, I was a huge fan of Knockout City. That game very much got me through the pandemic and was the game that replaced Rocket League in terms of my casual go-to game. I absolutely love Knockout City and would recommend it. And Rumbleverse is the other one. That was the Epic Games kind of follow-up to Fortnite, but a more wrestling, melee-focused version of a Battle Royale where you can suplex people and tombstone them off the top of buildings. Sounds really cool, but in reality, I think a lot of people were just sick of Battle Royales. But like I say, since this tweet came out, Back 4 Blood got added to the pile as Turtle Rock are moving on to the next project, so that game isn't going to be continuing either.
Turtle Rock moving on to a next project. That's never happened before. Evolve is still up and running, I'll have you know.
Oh my god, Evolve. That was another one from a few years ago as well. And all of this comes after the Avengers saying that they'll be doing one of the final content updates in March, and then the game itself is shutting down in September, barely making its third anniversary, let's say. So it's only into its third year, and it won't make it out of 2022. Or three. Wherever we are right now.
23.
And then another thing I want to throw in on the pile is Anthem. I just think when you really take a step back, almost every single one of these has backfired. And again, it's not to poop on the people who did put these things together. And some of these games have great art designs and whatever else, but the model didn't work. The live service model killed every single one of these.
What sucks is that, you know, like you said, you know, there have been quality developers working on these games.
Yeah.
And some games in particular have managed to turn themselves around and then still be discontinued and have support cut off. It's not on this list, but I think back to a few years ago when Star Wars Battlefront 2, you know, started turning things around, started releasing some really good content. and started getting the fan base back on board. By the end of its lifespan, Star Wars Battlefront 2 had a really dedicated playbase who loved that game, and then support was abruptly ended because the developers needed to move on to Battlefield 2042, and look how that game turned out, you know what I mean? And that's when it sucks even more, when the games might start to be, you know, getting things right, but it's been 2 years, it's been 3 years, we need those developers to move on. Has any game with a 10-year plan ever seen more than five? I don't know.
The thing is, when you really, like I said, when you really start thinking about it, it's like, how many of these games, like, there's always that that general sort of underlying rule of how many live services can an average person maintain? And I did write down a few of the different services that do work. Obviously, there's Fortnite. That's the big main one that a lot of people are chasing. Genshin Impact has a humongous success, brings in a lot of money every month. Warframe's up there. Rocket League still going very strong. They made a switch over to free to play, and that's going very well. And I always mentioned Warzone. That was a game that, you know, released way back when the PS4 first came out, and then overhauled itself across the last decade or so. And Warzone's like incredible right now, but it's very specific in terms of who's playing it.
Here's the thing, though. Warzone 2, you know, the next iteration of the game that everyone loved, it was reported a few weeks ago that was losing players faster than the first
game.
In that there was a drop-off. So it's like, even a game in a franchise as big as Call of Duty is struggling right
now. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like the overall model of how do we bolt you to this thing? How do we give you dailies, weeklies? How do we have a storefront that monetizes itself? How do we have all these different systems that just take over, that reset themselves? And how do you manufacture FOMO around that? And how do you get people invested? It just isn't really a healthy way to interact with a video game at some point. And to a lot of people, that point is immediately, like the Avengers or whatever.
I mean, I think it's not my original thought. I think Stephanie Sterling probably said it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that all of these live service games want to be the only game that you ever play.
Yeah.
And there can only be one or two games that you check into every single day that actually, you know, sticks with you, because you just don't have the time, you don't have the motivation, you don't have the desire to get stuck into 20, 30, 40 live service games that are up and running. So as a business model, it always felt like the writing was on the wall, because some of these games have to fail, because it's all or nothing. And if it's nothing, like, there's no in between. They need the support to survive. They need the support to get the money that comes in to release new content, and that content then retains players. It is an all or nothing approach, and we've seen so many crash and burn. I'm not a gambling man. I wouldn't be getting into the live service game.
He's not born a gambling man.
Certainly wasn't. Because if you fail big, and you disappoint everyone, and you kind of ruin your reputation because you promised big things, like in the case of the Avengers, and then you've just started, you know, releasing less and less content, and then the axe comes.
The thing that I'm curious about is that idea of, you know, starting out with we've got all these different, in the Avengers case, we have all these character-specific battle passes, we have all these different plans, we have all this DLC, we have all this season pass stuff. None of it is really earned. I mean, Jules said this on the Entitled Planet Pod, you can go subscribe to the What Culture Gaming podcast, but Jules was saying it's not like they build up to anything. They try and launch with, like, they're asking you for so much commitment out the gate, and they don't just give you something small and then build up and then say, hey, we'd love to extend this game, hey, we know we've got some ideas for the story, we'll do it if you guys want it, and whatever, and move into that idea of a live service platform over time. That is kind of what Warzone became, excuse me, and the only way that that was able to be sustainable was because they built the audience first. And I think that's the key thing that a lot of these games didn't do. They just assumed that everyone would be up for spending as much money as possible, investing in, like I said, character-specific battle passes or whatever, and it only fell apart over time, because it's like, you're asking so much of me, and you don't deserve it yet. And I think that it almost needs to be inverted going forward.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That's it, right? And look, video game development is hard. It's hard enough to release a regular game, never mind a live service game, and plan years in advance to release content. But you need to have something there, like you were saying. Yeah. The core game either needs to be good, or you need to have a long-term plan already locked in. How many times has a game released that's promised a roadmap, and then you don't see that roadmap for like 6 months, and even when the roadmap comes, it's got no dates on, you're not even sure what you're getting. It is just a term. It's just something you expect. You expect all of this stuff to be in flux, and it doesn't inspire confidence. And I think what you need to sell a successful live service game is confidence, or it's something you need a core, because even some of the best live service games now started bad, like Destiny, you know, had a disastrous launch but turned things around and really committed to getting good. Anthem, on the other hand, you know, went back to the drawing board for Anthem 2.0, and we never saw it. At the end of the day, Activision just said, it's not worth the hassle. We'll actually kill Anthem 2.0 and just cut our losses.
Do you know the thing that's kind of fascinating is, I think of an example like No Man's Sky. That game wasn't very complete at launch. I always loved it, whatever. But a lot of people didn't. Obviously, it was one of the most historic F-ups in gaming history. But that game has now had so many content packs, so many additions to whatever it was in the first place, that a lot of the fandom are, let us give you more money. Like, trying to say to Hello Games, let us find a way of monetizing this more directly rather than just relying on the unit sales, because that's the same way that No Man's Sky is monetized now as it was back in 2016. You buy the game, you get everything, you know, the last sort of 6-7 years worth of content, but the key thing is that that game had a soul, it had charm, it had something it was going for that you could tell it was trying to do. And obviously that launch day version stumbled and hit the floor and just stayed on the floor for like a whole year, but still, when you compare it to the likes of the Avengers or the likes of even something like Back 4 Blood, which came with the card system and everything, they're just systems that people immediately go, well, you're not being genuine. You're trying to get more out of me than I want to put into you. And it just feels like you're immediately being taken advantage of. You're almost immediately aware that they're mining your love of that property to get more money out. And I think that that's the key thing. No Man's Sky has survived and absolutely thrived because, you know, Sean Murray and the rest of the people at Hello Games genuinely care about their vision for that thing. And they've been able to execute on it year and year on year.
I think that's the difference, like you said, between that and something like the Avengers, where it just did feel like there was no soul there. One, and two, they really were just trying to manipulate people's love of that IP to get as much money as possible. Yeah. You know,
character-specific battle passes,
weird upgrade trees that like don't actually impact the character cosmetically. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of soulless stuff added onto a game that already felt like it didn't really have much of a soul. And what I have an issue with in particular is not like the idea of live service generally. It's not the idea of a roadmap. It's not even the idea of a battle pass. It's how many of these games release and then take the first year of their live service life just to become a finished game. The Avengers, Anthem, a bunch of other titles that are blanking me right now. Battlefield 2042, Crossfire X, which I really loved. I love Battlefield 2042.
You did?
And it's in a good space now, but it's taken over a year to get to the point where people would call it a finished video game. Yeah. And it has all of the systems in there optimized and it actually runs. Like, if you're releasing a live service game, you cannot, in my opinion, be spending the first year, year and a half, 2 years getting it to where people expected it to be day one. That's the big killer.
That's very true. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like this, they're asking for so much love, so much investment up front, but the version of the game that you're getting has notable bugs, has notable issues, has notable things that are going to need to be added to it, and it feels like you've bought into an early access title and it just shouldn't have that premium price point attached to it. And like, I mean, Battlefield, didn't it take forever to get like an actual scoreboard or whatever?
Oh yeah, yeah, like, it took like match. 4 months or something, maybe
just
longer.
Stupid stuff that should have been there from day one, and everyone knew that immediately. I said that thing before about, you know, like, it was very clear that a lot of these games didn't have solo charm or whatever. Things like Knockout City did. I think that's a wider problem with, like I said, the overall approach to live services and the idea of leaning on that. I mean, Knockout City, I think, still did 9 seasons of content. It's just that idea that it wasn't able to latch on like a Rocket League and just have that sort of immortal kind of lifespan overall. I want to end on Suicide Squad, because that's the next big upcoming potential live service game. Definitely has live service components based on the leak. What do you think? How do you think that's going to land?
Dude, man, overall? Like, I every day I wake up, I just wake up and I'm doing the Marriage Story punch the wall meme. But also I wake up thinking about Suicide Squad and how it's going to land, because I believe, I optimistically believe that there's going to be enough of a soul and a core there for it to work. I believe in Rocksteady. I believe in their approach to this universe. I believe in their writing to get the character characters right, to get the world right. However, at the end of the day, it is this four-player multiplayer shooter, essentially. And even if it doesn't have like a live service element like Destiny, it's very much like based around loot, exploration, all of that stuff. The kind of mechanics that we associate with live service games. So it's a tale of two halves for me, because I believe and I hope that the core of it will have enough there to get me in. But the framework that is being modeled around, the loot system that's being modeled around, has me running for the hills in a way.
It makes me curious as well, because it's been in development for so long. It will have been 8 years since Arkham Knight by the time this comes out. So I wonder how much Warner Brothers are like, we need to recoup a lot of dev time. There's all the various reports that did the rounds across the last sort of half decade as to which games were canned internally from Warner Brothers, which directions they were trying to take the overall Arkhamverse in, like a Damian Wayne game or whatever. And we end up getting the Suicide Squad game that almost needs to recoup almost two or three games worth of dev time across multiple studios, but all under the Warner Brothers umbrella. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Here's the thing.
Go on.
You said this about Gotham Knights and you really like that game.
I love Gotham Knights. I'm a big fan of the old Gotham Knights. Thankfully, that game isn't trying to monetize me to death.
It's not.
No.
I would say that it does have, on the surface, a lot of the systems that you would expect from a live service title, like the loot system the character swapping, the two-player drop-in, multiplayer, all of that stuff. It's not a live service, but it borrows heavily from that school of thinking.
If that was more, because you can completely ignore all that stuff, if that was more in my face, and if the costumes weren't as awesome,
that's true.
If it was trying to monetize any of that stuff, like, it's weird how much that game is a hybrid of like some weird live service, we should probably have all these currencies in here type thing, with also an Arkham-style single player. You can just do the Arkham single player, and I just sacked off all the wider, he has 10 different premium currencies, I don't care about any of these things, and just try and enjoy the story. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the state of the live service genre?
Yeah!
Model? Thing, and what you think is going to happen with Suicide Squad later on in this. Yeah, for now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.